I don't know about you, but I thoroughly enjoyed that singing. That was wonderful. Let's turn for a moment to the Word of God. We'll read three short passages before we get into any exhortation this evening. First one found in the book of Philippians, and the second chapter, Philippians chapter 2, very well-known verses to many of us, beginning at verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, and that the death of the cross. Hebrews chapter 1. First chapter of the book of Hebrews and the first verse. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. One final verse, please. In the book of John, the Gospel of John, and the 16th chapter, John chapter 16, verse 28, the Lord Jesus Christ here is speaking, and he says this to his disciples: I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Father, this evening we thank thee for Holy Writ. We thank thee for the Word of God. We pray thy blessing upon these simple thoughts this evening, that they would be used of thyself, for we know that thou hast promised thy word shall never return unto thee void. And so we ask thee to use thy word this evening to touch hearts, to change lives, and make afresh that which has been corrupted by sin. Bless us while we wait upon thee, and we would be mindful to give thee all the glory, asking in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This evening's message I have entitled, Three Things That the Lord Jesus Christ Acquired on Earth. I don't know about you, but found in my house are many things that I have squirreled away. I had an interesting experience this weekend. I don't know what struck me, but one day I decided I was going to find an old watch that I had lost. I bought this watch on sale. It was a fantastic deal, you see. And I wanted to wear it again. I had other working watches that I could put on my wrist, but this particular day, it struck me. My wife was out, my daughter was at one of the kids' clubs, and I thought, okay, I had the house to myself, and I'm going to turn this place upside down and find this watch. About 3 hours and 14 discoveries later, I found this watch. And I came to realize it's interesting what we acquire as we go through life, isn't it? We have all kinds of things in our homes and in our offices, in our cars, and we have them squirreled away in little places, and we think, boy, I'll come back to this sometime. And inevitably, we never quite make it back to make use of it as we thought we would. But there are some things that people acquire that we use and have and become part of who we are. And it's interesting to note that through the reading of the New Testament, there are three things which the Lord Jesus Christ acquired that he did not have before he came to earth, and that he took back with him to heaven, and that he has in heaven and will never, ever lose. Now, some of us go on trips and we go to far off places and we acquire things to remind us of where we've been. Spoons and plates and cups and jewelry and all sorts of things. But the Lord Jesus Christ took back with him three things from this earth. And as time permits, we'll have a look at them and see exactly what he took back from his 33 years here on the face of the earth. Christmas is coming. Amazing to say that, isn't it? But Christmas is coming. J.N. Darby wrote these things around Christmas time concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. At Christmas time, we celebrate this momentous event when he who was God became man. When the Son of God became the Son of Man. When he exchanged his earthly glory, his heavenly glory, for the obscurity of Bethlehem. When he exchanged the worship of angels for the visit of shepherds. When he exchanged the royal robes of heaven for swaddling clothes. When he exchanged the throne of heaven for an animal's feeding trough. When the firstborn of all creation became Mary's firstborn. When he who stood on level ground with God came into the world and stood on level ground with us. The first thing that the Lord Jesus Christ acquired was a nature. The Lord Jesus Christ was ever God and will ever be God, and we need to be very clear about that. Let's make that distinction right now. There was never a time, there was never a moment when Jesus Christ ceased to be divine, almighty, omnipotent, omniscient God himself. Ever. However, the Lord Jesus Christ took upon himself our nature. We read about it, didn't we? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4, a transliteration of that verse can read this way, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, didn't regard the outward display of glory and majesty associated with dwelling on equality with God as some great treasure to be hoarded or prized, but robbed himself of it and made himself as nothing. Christ turned his back on all the grandeur and splendor of high heaven and stepped from eternity into the world and walked on the ground and breathed in the air and drank the water and ate the food that we all eat and that we all experience today. You know, I think that this in itself is something extremely difficult for us to grasp and grapple with this evening. Isaiah puts it this way. He says that the triune God is the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity. Now that in itself is a difficult thing to comprehend. But God inhabits all time, all place at the same moment, such that he is able to say 1,000 years is but as a day, and a day is but 1,000 years. And time means nothing because he is able to move through time. He was able to say to those Jews that stood around him in Jerusalem, I am the I am. And it was just as true that moment as when it was spoken to Moses all those many years ago. And this one who inhabits eternity stepped into time and made himself subject to all those things that we are subject to, and he took upon himself an earthly human nature. Now let's be clear, yet sin apart. Yet sin apart. Have you ever tried to move through time? I say that a little sheepishly. Have you ever wished that you could go back in time, even just for a minute, and pull word back, or retract an action, or implant an action, for that matter? For all our trying, and all our wishing, and all our labor, we cannot move backwards and forward in time. Not a moment. Not a second. But God inhabited eternity, and he stepped out of that realm in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and made himself subject to all that we are subject to. John 1:14 says this, "The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." It's interesting, you know, the Bible doesn't say that he became man, although in other places it does. It says in this particular instance that he became flesh. Why does it say that he became flesh and not man? It speaks to and denotes the amazing abasement and condescension of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would be subject to the very self-same things that we are. The Bible very clearly tells us that he hungered at points in his life. He thirsted. He was fatigued. He experienced pain. He slept. He wept. And he bled. And he died. John 8 records for us the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. "You seek to kill me," he said to the Jews, "a man who spoke the truth to you." Acts 22, verse 22, the very first Christian sermon ever preached by Stephen the martyr. At the end of the sermon, as they were picking up stones to put him to death, he says, "Men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved among you." I apologize. That was not actually at Stephen's stoning. That was the very first time that Paul spoke his sermon. And the Lord Jesus Christ still has that self-same nature. He didn't relinquish his human nature when he ascended back to heaven, any more than he relinquished his nature as God when he came down into earth. What did Stephen say in Acts 7? As he was being stoned, he said this, "I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." And the Lord Jesus Christ is still standing there today. He is still there. And he is described as the Son of Man. As a matter of fact, the Lord Jesus Christ himself took great pleasure in calling himself the Son of Man. He spoke of himself at least 12 times in the Gospels as the Son of Man. Amazing thing that God, the God of heaven, should desire to take upon himself this nature. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5 says this, "There is one God and one mediator between God and man." Who is it? The man, Christ Jesus. Have you ever met the Lord Jesus Christ on a personal level? Have you ever met him face to face? I think sometimes in our preaching of the gospel, one of the things that we do not emphasize as much as we should is this, that the Lord Jesus Christ was a man. And this evening, he comes to you and he says, "I know where you are." The Bible says that he was in all points tempted or tested as we are, yet sin apart. It says we have a high priest who is able to sympathize with us and our weaknesses because he has been tempted in every way and respect as us, yet sin apart. Hebrews 4. And this evening, the gospel is presented to you in this fashion, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Almighty God, was made man for you. And he was examined. And he was cross-examined and re-examined. And at the end of it all, Pilate, the great legislator, adjudicator, and judge of man, was able to say, I find no fault in him. Those who were sent to grasp him, the temple guards, who had vowed their lives to protect the high priest, went out with clubs and they saw him, and without any violence, they fell on the ground and they returned back empty-handed. And when they were asked by their charges, why did you not return with the Lord Jesus Christ? They simply said, no man spake like this man. The centurion soldier, whose responsibility it was surely to put several dozen, if not hundreds of men to death, looked up and watched one man die in darkness. And he says, surely, this must be the Son of God. And this man, make no mistake, in heaven today there is a man, and he is seated on the throne of heaven, and one day he will judge, and he will judge righteously. And so this evening the gospel that is presented to you concerns a man who came down to die on a cross to save you and me. What is the second thing that the Lord Jesus Christ acquired while he was here on earth? Well, he had many names before he came to earth. But when he came to earth, there was one particular name that was given to him. We remember that in Isaiah chapter 6, and verse 3, we read that the seraphims would cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. He was called the Lord of hosts. There are several names in the Old Testament that we could take the time to turn to. But certainly the one name that pricks the heart of Christians today is the name of Jesus. Now, you know, there's some interesting things about that name. Although the Lord acquired the name Jesus here on earth, he was not the first to carry that name. It's very interesting. As a matter of fact, Joshua, his name could be pronounced Jesus, the successor of Moses. It was the name of the last high priest mentioned in the Old Testament. It was a common and popular name in the New Testament times when the Gospels were being written. We know of at least 13 other men named Jesus at the time the Lord Jesus walked the face of the earth from other historical documents. It's interesting that he should take a common man's name. But he brought very special and significant meaning to that name, Jesus. It had a very special significance for him. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21 says this, Mary shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Gabriel brought this name down from heaven, but the Lord Jesus Christ took it back. And thank God, he carries that name with him in glory. One day, if you are a Christian, you will be able to walk those streets of gold and you will be able to call his name. The Lord Jesus Christ will be there. And if there is ever any question as to why it is that you have a right to be there, the answer is found in his name. Because the name Jesus means the Lord is our or my salvation. Isn't it wonderful that he took that name back to heaven? Do you know him by that name? All earth will know him by the name Lord. The Jews will know him by the name Messiah. But those who are saved will know him by the name Jesus. The demons knew that name. Mark 1, verse 24. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. The unclean spirit spoke in the synagogue of Capernaum. The angels knew him as Jesus. Matthew 28, verse 5. Fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. The angel spoke these words to the women who came to his tomb. Blind Bartimaeus in Mark 10 was heard to say, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. But probably the most amazing thing of all was that the Lord Jesus Christ identifies himself with that name. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 5, you remember that Saul, later Paul, was on the road to Damascus, and he was stopped by that great light. And when he asked the question, who art thou, Lord? The answer came back, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. At his ascension, angels spoke of his return. Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into heaven? This same Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner. Acts 1 verse 11. And for this reason, the New Testament closes with the heartfelt prayer of the Apostle John. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? Do you know him as Jesus? Are you able to call him Lord Jesus? Has he saved your soul? Have you ever had a personal experience with the one who became man for you and for me? And so the Lord Jesus Christ acquired a nature, and he acquired a name. But certainly the most touching of all, and I'm sure most of you have thought of this by now, the third thing that he acquired was the nail prints in his hand. Psalm 22 verse 16 says this, they pierced my hands and my feet, prophetically of the Lord Jesus. Have you ever stopped to wonder why the earthly activities of the Lord Jesus Christ were to become a carpenter? Certainly his earthly, or Mary's husband, better put, earthly father, Mary's husband, was a carpenter, and there was probably something taking up his father's, earthly father's profession. But why would he become a carpenter? There are not many carpenters in the Bible, as a matter of fact. We read of only very few. As a carpenter of Nazareth, Jesus must have known what it was many times to swing a mallet and drive nails into hard wood. Perhaps when doing so, he often thought of the day when Roman soldiers would smash 7 to 8 inch nails into a splintered wooden beam through his own quivering flesh. And every day, I wonder what went through the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ as he did his daily tasks. How many times did he pick up the mallet and use it on a nail or a piece of wood, and his perfect mind would go forward to that time when the Roman soldiers would do that on himself? Why would he do that? Because he loved you. Because he loved me. If we had time, we'd go back to the Old Testament and look at David's battle with Goliath. Remember, after Goliath fell and he was dead, he took the giant's head off and he carried the head up out of the valley to the other side of the mountain where the children of Israel were waiting. David came out of the valley of Elah with evidence of his victory, the head of another man. But the Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven with evidence of victory by the prince in his hands and in his side. If there is anything that is man-made in all of heaven, there's only one thing. The marks in the holy body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were placed there because of you and because of me. The book of the Revelation puts it this way. In the midst of 24 elders clothed in white raiment, beside the crystal sea that was clear as glass, aside the throne from which emanated a rainbow, adjacent to four creatures who were almost indescribable in their power and beauty, the Bible says there stood a lamb as though it had been freshly slain. And John is very careful to mark this one thing out. The only thing that he beheld. Now, remember this. As a good Jew, John would have witnessed the slaughter of thousands of lambs. He would have seen the dead animals laying on Jewish altars over and over and over. And there he was transported into things that must be into heaven itself and seeing all these glorious, amazing, almost indescribable things and events. He says, there's only one thing I beheld. And what was it? The lamb, as though it had been freshly slain. Why? Because he realized that that was his Lord and his Savior. Zechariah 13 verse 6 says, in a future prophecy, and one shall say unto him, the Lord Jesus Christ, what are these wounds in thine hands? And he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. If in heaven I ask the Lamb, what are these wounds in your hands? He might well reply, these are the wounds I acquired during my visit to planet Earth. And if I should follow up with a yes, but why? He may well respond, I acquired the nail print for the same reason I acquired the nature and the name, because I loved you. Do you know the one who acquired a new nature for you? Do you know the one who acquired a new name just for you? Do you know the one who acquired the nail prints just for you? Do you know him? Do you care to know him? Do you know what he went through to acquire you and me? Because he acquired a nature, I have a new nature. 2 Peter 1 and 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Because he took on himself a human nature, I, by trusting in Jesus Christ this evening, I have a heavenly divine nature. If it's amazing to think that the Lord Jesus Christ could take upon himself a human nature, it's even more amazing to think that I could have a divine nature through him, and only through him. Because he acquired a name, I have a new name. Now, there are several places in the New Testament where we read of a new name for the Christian. But this is the one that I love. It's found in Revelation 2, verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name, which no man knowing, saving he that receiveth it. Do you know that if you are a Christian today, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to give you a new name? And did you know that it will be an intimate name, and only you and he will know it? Amazing things. You may have little names for your children that only you know of. You may have little names for your wife and your husband, or your father and your mother that only you know of, and it breeds intimacy and closeness. Well, there is a name that the Lord Jesus Christ will one day give you. Put it in your own hand, and only you are going to know it. And only he's going to know it. And all because he took upon that name, Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. And so we close. Because he acquired a nature, I have a new nature. Because he acquired a new name, I have a new name. And because he acquired the nail prints, I never will. I never will. I will never know what it is to stand in judgment under the wrath of an almighty God, because he took it and he bore it for me. Father, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for that human nature that you took upon himself, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. We thank thee for that name, that beautiful name, that rings out, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Most of all this evening, Father, we thank thee for the nail-printed hands that are waiting for us in glory. And one day we'll see them. As surely as Thomas saw them so long ago in the upper room, we'll see them. And we'll know that he endured them for us. O Father, we ask thee that thou wilt touch hearts tonight and cause us to see the Lord Jesus Christ in a new light, and cause our hearts to go out to him. For those who know him not, O Father, we pray that tonight would be the night that they would meet the Lord Jesus Christ face to face for the first time. Bless us while we wait upon thee. These things we ask in our Savior's holy and precious name. Amen.